Pastor Drew, as we continue the stewardship series, we hit the big one, stewardship of resource, which full of references in the Bible, giant topic, probably tough to preach on, as evidenced by our 7 takeaways.
Yeah, right.
But very nice job. If you would have had more time, and I'm sure there's a million ways you could have gone talking about how we steward our resources, what would you have spent a little more time on?
Yeah, you know, so this whole series on stewardship covers, you know, different areas, whether it's time, opportunity, resources with Sunday. And so I split it up in a certain way and stuck with it. This is one time, referring to this past Sunday, that I probably should have split it into two.
How would you have split it up?
Well, we covered all monetary or all material resources. And so if you remember early in the sermon, I made a distinction between monetary resources and material resources. And so houses, cars, toys, I guess, that sort of thing. And I probably should have split that into two.
You know, I was thinking about this recording, and I was going to actually thank you for thinking of resources the way you did. I understand why splitting it up. I mean, there's so much to talk about in Scripture. It talks about finances enough that you would have no problem sourcing, finding some good biblical truths. But because so many people aren't gifted financially in a way that allows them to save or give real generously, thinking about resources the way that you talked about it, I thought was really helpful, a little bit more holistic, right? Sure. You might not have a paycheck that your neighbor has, but you got stuff.
Right.
You steward things, material things. So, of course you could have talked about things 1,000 different ways, but that was actually one thing I appreciated.
Yeah, and so that could have been a sermon in itself.
Yeah.
Just looking for ways that you can bless people with your things. There's plenty of people in our congregation that have, you know, cottages, and they have the luxury of having multiple residences. And you know, I would never say that that's a wrong thing or a misuse of resources. And, you know, in our congregation, some of those people that have those are very, very generous with them.
Sure.
Like they're looking for opportunities to bless people and families with a place to get away that's inexpensive. The thing that comes to mind in my own experience in the last few years is when there was a young man in our congregation, and I heard that he was going to learn how to play the cello. It's kind of like, hey, I bought a cello like 10 years ago and barely ever picked it up. You know, could I loan that to you? And so I did, and I felt so good about that because it was just sitting in my basement, but just kind of keeping your ears open. And then consequently, last year, he quit using it, and I wanted to pick it up again. And so he was able to bless me back, you know. But getting back to the splitting it into two, the material resources, that's one that I think people could stand to think about more, because we do have so much stuff that could be shared and so much stuff that could bless people in different ways. But also with regard to the, you know, maybe the primary, the monetary, which is what everyone would expect that you'd talk about, I didn't really have an opportunity to get as deep as I would have liked with regard to explaining, I guess, the root of tithing. Mm. You know, tithing, we understand in a kind of a concrete way as, you know, 10% of your income going to God's work, you know, whether that be the church, missionaries, mission agencies. And, you know, that's a really good rule of thumb. Mm-hmm. But that's maybe a little overwhelming to someone who has never really viewed their finances that way, or to new Christians. And so I think the root behind tithing is, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so what I usually encourage new members to do is, you know, you haven't been giving anything. Talk it over as a couple, talk it over as a family, and just pick a starting place and make a commitment. And pay attention to that commitment and, you know, see where God leads you with that. And to my knowledge, that has been a surefire way to bring people into a better understanding of God's abundance. And you hear testimony after testimony of people saying, you know what, we made this commitment, and you know what, if anything, life got better for us. And I can't even work it out on paper, but it just seems like the Lord blesses that, and your life just comes more in order with regards to what you're attached to and, you know, what your purpose with the resources God has given you is. And so I just think that's a wonderful and exciting thing. Not health and wealth, but when we live the way that God calls us to live, you know, if you're paying attention, there are great rewards even in the here and now for that.
It's always so much easier than we make it. Like, when you live the way that God commands, you I want to be careful about saying life is better. Because it comes with suffering.
And yeah, you just not it. Necessarily.
It's not health and wealth. But life is better. In a way that, like, you're more fulfilled, your walk with God is closer, your faith is strengthened. In those types of ways.
Yeah.
In
you're more content.
In your relationship with God and neighbor, those things are better.
Yeah.
When you live the way God intended. And it's not rocket science, and we try to make it rocket science all the time. But it's as simple as, hey, God says you give, so you give. To my knowledge, you know, the 10% rule isn't really commanded in Scripture. It's pulled from Zechariah or Zephaniah, one of the Z prophets, I think, says a tenth.
Yeah.
Do you have any, you know, are there any numbers or guiding principles beyond just pick a starting place that you recommend to people when they're thinking about giving?
You know what? I feel that people's situations are so different.
Sure.
That, like, the advice to pick a starting point, even if it's something that you think is manageable. I mean, you don't need to put the burden on a new Christian of, you know what, you really got to give till it hurts right off the bat. Just start somewhere.
Yeah.
And be mindful of it. And I believe that it's the Holy Spirit that works in our hearts. Oh, right. And, you know, makes us want to be more generous. And so in that way, with that advice, we're always in the camp of being cheerful givers rather than reluctant givers, which is something that God doesn't want, right?
I was going to go to the give until it hurts a little bit. No, and I've heard that from a lot of pastors. Point being that giving is meant to be a sacrifice. And, you know, if you're giving out of abundance, and it you're really not sacrificing, right? If I can still have my three boats and my four houses, maybe I could be giving a little more. But
I think it's God that has to lead you to that.
Yeah,
you don't force yourself to do it.
The cheerful giving thing is a way healthier spiritual and mental approach to the discipline of giving than this like masochistic thing.
Sure.
Where you're trying to hurt. And I think that call, you know, I think the reason why I've heard so many pastors say that is because in America, even if you're in the bottom 10% in America, you're in the top 1% in the world. I often say that the irony of, you know, the Occupy Wall Street stuff was like, the 99.1% were angry that the 99.9% had too much wealth.
Yeah.
Right? We're really, that's the way most of us, you know, longtime church attenders, which is probably most of the people who watch these, American Christians, two-income households often, both educated spouses often. Like, we're in a place where, if anything, we should be giving more than we are.
Mm-hmm.
But I do appreciate your approach there, because it does change the spirit of the gift. Like, associating giving with hurting is maybe a helpful kind of prod for people, but it's not the healthiest place to end up, right? We should end up as cheerful, willing, content givers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good point. And again, certain people need to hear different things.
Sure, of course.
And so that's what I kind of try and take into account with regard to what I would preach from the pulpit, you know?